Morning, everybody, and happy Women's Day. Today is 8th of March, so I've seen the women are the majority in this room today. I'm happy to see it. My name is Giulio. I live in Ami. I'm in Oroville since 2012. I'm a geologist by formation, and I happen to work in CSR Geomatics. We collect data. I hope the volume is better now. We collect data on many things. Water is one of the aspects we are concentrating at the moment, trying to map and also publish whatever we collect. So whatever you find here today, you can find online, and you can do your own evaluation of what I'm going to talk about. I would like to thank Paul for what he said. I agree on 99% what he said. I will do a small difference in regards to certain areas. And I thank him for reminding us, all of us, that this area, in Tamil Nadu especially, has one of the best water management system in the world, historically, the Yeri system, and I hope something can be done in the next future. I will concentrate strictly on Oroville. Why? Because we have to understand where we are today if we want to be effective on any decision-making process. So I will give you an overview of the actual situation. The first is, as already Paul has pointed out, these are data collected in Oroville by Mr. Charlie Orogreen for the last 30 years, every day after the rain. So from this graph, you can see that there is no, as Paul was saying, there is no regular pattern. The rain are absolutely erratic, and they go up and down, and nobody can foresee or forecast what's happening next. Just to give you a hint, in 2015, we had the highest rainfall in the latest 30 years, 2,088 millimeters, and the next year, we had the shortest one, 619 millimeters. There is no relation whatsoever. It's just like that. What is the average? The annual average is 1,352 millimeter calculated on this data, right? So this is the amount of rain which falls on Oroville on an annual basis. We have differences. We have noticed we have about 16 rain gauges working in Oroville. Not all of them are regularly working, but we see that there are differences in rainfall whenever rainfall happens. So Oroville might receive 50 mm of rain, while Centerfield might have only 10 or 15. So there are variations, but that is quite normal. So this is the same, yeah. What happens once the rain, the water falls from the sky? We need to remember that the rain is the only source of water we have. We don't have other sources. That's the only source. Even what we get from the ground comes from the rain. So what happens after the rain hits the ground? Well, this is the geology of the area. Depending on the characteristic of the area, the water can infiltrate or can run on the surface. For instance, on this green areas, which is mapped in green, but actually corresponds to our red soil, what we call the red soil, which is the Cadalo sandstone, it's sandy, and so water is very prone to infiltration here. But this one, which is Ottai, it's an aquitard, it's clay. So when it rains in that area, there is no infiltration happening. So this tells you one thing. As Paul said, we are not clear often on what happens under our feet. We need to see at this as a cake made of layers, okay? The layers are not all the same. Some layer has chocolate, some layer has vanilla. So this is the same. This is a very good aquifer. It means that water can go through and move within it. But when we have an aquitard, like a clay, water doesn't go through. It acts basically as a plastic sheet. Through plastic, water doesn't go through. Not only, but water which is inside, since millions of years, doesn't travel, because the water to travel needs connection, voids connected. And there are not. They are so tiny that water cannot go through. So we have several layers, which are called aquifer, which can store water, and they are divided by each other by layers which do not. So all depends on where the rain falls. If it falls here, this gets recharged. If it falls on the clay, not only this doesn't get recharged, but under this, nothing gets recharged. And here, it's again an aquifer, it rains and it goes also down, but here, it doesn't. So you have to imagine this is what happens under our feet. So don't think that all the water which is falling from the sky goes there. Sorry, this is not true. Second, what is the quantity? It has been evaluated that only 20% of water falling from the sky actually recharge. 20%. So out of 1,352, we have 1/5 of it which goes down. The rest goes somewhere else to evaporation, plants, and runoff. So we need to keep this in mind. I forgot to mention, if you have any question anytime, please raise your hand. I'm happy to answer. So we need to start analyzing the facts. What are the facts? Let's take Dana for instance. Dana, this is a work which has done carefully and accurately by Mr. Tom. He has collected data on a daily basis on water rainfall, but also on the water level of the well. So there are three scenarios. One is, like here, it rains, you see the red is the rain, but the water level doesn't change much. Here, you have a nice rain, and then you see the water level starts changing. And here, you have very nice rain, and the water level suddenly goes up. So there are three scenarios. One, no impact at all, especially for low quantity of rain. A slight change for medium rains, and a good change for big rains. How many big rains do we receive in 1 year? 2 or 3. So this tells you the impact of the rain. Now, when we look at overall scenario, I want to point at this area. This is Kali Valley. This is Vanur. Vanur sandstone is one of those three aquifers we rely upon. Actually, we don't, because luckily, Oroville has very few wells tapping into Vanur sandstone. But it's the aquifer on which all this area, northwest of Oroville, relies upon for all the cultivation and agriculture. In 1975, I'm sorry that the image is just a bit outside. 1975, the water level in Vanur sandstone was 7 meters above the sea level. In 2005, means after 30 years, the water level was minus 47. It means that in 30 years, the Vanur sandstone has gone, the water level has gone down 54 meters. And that is Vanur. What about Oroville? We don't have to forget that this is the unit, the aquifer which gives water to all this area up there. So it's a huge important thing. It's absolutely under stress. It's overstressed. What about us? Let's have a look at data which have been collected before, many years ago, till 2008 by Water Harvest. So this is a map. Matri Mandir is here. I want just to point the Matri Mandir for you as a reference to be able to read this map better. Matrimandirashiya. So these lines show you the level of the water in respect of the sea as on June 1998. In June 1998, the Matrimandir area had water underground at 38 meters above the sea. Is that clear for everyone? In 2016, September 2016, the Matrimandir is at 29 meters. Before it was 38. In 2018, the Matrimandir is at 20 meters. It means that from 1998 to 2018, 20 years, we have lost 18 meters of water. These facts are not created by me. These facts are documented. How? Let's go a bit in detail. This is a very, very nice example of an aquifer which is in good health. An aquifer in Australia, you see here that it recharges and then it goes down due to use and then again it recharges, and this level are very much comparable. Again, as in Dana, there is not much impact, direct impact from the rain to the aquifer. So the two things can be absolutely compared. Revelation on top, fertile on the bottom. Data collected in the last 2 years, October 2017, January 2020. Do you see any such trend? I just see that here I see a spike. But then here again I see a spike. But here I see something going down. I don't see that recharge happening as in Australia. Now let's look a bit better at this data. The red arrows are on the months where there is the maximum impact by the humans. Why? This is before the rains. So before the rains, these are the levels pointed by the red arrows, where the water is just before any recharge happens. So it tells you very clearly the impact of the human extraction. Again, this is Revelation and this is Fertile. Let's put a line joining these points. No comment, I think, is needed. And this is the green arrows are indicating the recharge. So after the rain, where are we? And this is where I want to bring you. Because the previous slide is quite obvious. Paul also was talking about the level going down. But what is really worrying is this. These are the recharge. It means this is when the system gets replenished by the rain. But look at the levels. The recharge is always going down. It tells here is -23.8, -22.7, -20.6. It means that the system has recharged more than 2 meters less in the last 2 years. Something is happening down there. Something is happening. What is happening due to the fact that the rain is erratic? There is a phenomenon called subsidence. Subsidence is when the aquifer compacts. You take out water, water you cannot compress, right? So it stands the weight of the overlying sediments. You remove water, instead of water you have grain of sands and voids. In the voids there is no water anymore, there is air. Air can be compressed. So the pile of sediment above is so heavy that it starts compressing. What is the result of this? That the voids in which water is tends to become smaller and smaller, less quantity of water can be stored, and the soil starts collapsing. My house is moving. I live in Ami. I have to find somebody these days. I have to find somebody. I'm not able to lock the door. This is something which is happening. And what is happening? This is the reason. Okay, these are obvious. But let's see, is this only revelation and fertile? No, my dear. Courage and Dipanam. Dipanam, we lost 18 meters. Yeah, Dipanam is Matri Mandir, so there is nothing new. We have seen the map. And you see the same trend again and again. And recharge. And okay, here we don't see it in Dipanam. We don't see that high slope, but still it's happening. So this is the overall scenario. So this is Auroville. The rain is our input. We have done a beautiful work in the past, banding the land, putting and planting all the forest and so on. We have, as Paul said, enhanced the recharge. Excellent, well done, beautiful. And we have tried to limit, even some cases it's not exactly like that, to limit our obstruction. But what is happening on the overall region? How many villages have done what Auroville has done? Well, not many. So the recharge is much less in the region compared to what is happening in Auroville. And the extraction due to economic reason, whatever it is massive. Plus, we have this risk of seawater intrusion. We are just nearby the ocean. So, and that is where I differ from Mr. Paul. Is it still a solution to let water percolate? Or do we have to think at something else? I leave this to your judgment. In Auroville, we don't know how much water we are consuming because we don't have a proper metering system. Few meters are installed, many of them do not work properly. So how much do we consume? Question open to you. A couple of things. It looks very dire what I've told so far, but I want to see smiles again on your face. This is an event which occurred on the 30th of October last year. It was in 33 minutes from 12:11 to 12:44, we had a rainfall of 16.75 millimeters. It doesn't look that big, right? I went there in the residential zone under the rain to see what was happening. And this is what I saw. You see a river here? This is a river. And this is the Vicus Radial. There's a lot of water, my dear. There's a lot of water falling there. Not only there, it's falling everywhere. But we are not thinking, we are not using our brain. We just let this water go to the canyon. And this is the beginning of the canyon at Sukhavati, near your place. This water is simply going to the sea. The sea becomes red. Is that wise? Up to you. We have also something else which happened recently. We have our showers, we have our hands and faces washed, we have our dishwashers, we have our washing machines, all using water. Where all this water going? Where is all this is water? Remember that this is water. It is in a form which we don't like, but it's water. We need to remember that it's water. So an attempt has been made in the residential zone to try to convert this unpleasant water, which we call wastewater, which is basically shit and what comes out after we wash our hands, and not only, into something else. We try to clean this water. Why? Because, as Paul said, we need to remember that water is limited. We cannot create water. Water which is on this planet has been here for billions of years, and the quantity is still the same. It is in different forms, in different places. It's still the same. We might not like that form and that place, but water is there. So we just need to use our skills. So this can treat 60,000 liters of wastewater in a day, and it produces a water which is not pure, of course, but it doesn't smell, it's crystal clear, and it can be used for many things, for gardening, for curing cement, for wetting the roads when there is dust and so on, instead of using precious, golden, fresh, clean ground water. So, where is that water going right now? That water is pumped from, you know where the residential zone wastewater treatment plant is? It's just down Maitreya 2. For your information, from the crown till that area, you know how much is the difference in elevation? 6.5 meters. So, from down there, the water is getting pumped up. Why up? The original idea was to dispose of it downstream. But downstream, how will it benefit? It's pumping up near Matri Mandir. Near Matri Mandir, not Matri Mandir. In the Mahalakshmi Park, there is a 200,000 liters of capacity storage built. It's there. You see the picture. You can go and visit. It's there. So this 200,000 liters capacity tanks receive the water treated, but today there is no one who is actually using that water. And who might be, in your mind, a good user? I don't suggest. Just think where the place is and think about. Well, so what happens? Every day 60,000 liters is recycled, but this, after 3 days, will be full. Right? 3.5 days. So this water is now percolating down. But then it goes into that tank, which is called aquifer, which has, in 2006, around Oroville, there were 6,000 wells in 2006. So we have to imagine 6,000 taps to that tank, and we control only one of them. I just leave it for you there. Before I go into question, as I am also a member of the water group, David, I am on time?
No?
Very good. Thank you. You can punish me. As I'm a member of water group, in 1 minute I'll try to explain the strategy we are thinking at. If we only stick to one source, which is what is coming from the sky, I guess we all understand that there is not much to do. But if we start thinking at water in a different perspective, in all the water qualities we have and how we can best use it, then we can multiply the sources. This approach is called multi-sourcing. So we want to have storm water, rainwater, wastewater to be added to the groundwater as source. Not for drinking, of course, but for the purpose which they are best for. Multi-sourcing. Think about it. Thank you.